cause too. So one of the gentlemen who's here tonight he recommended this place to me, although it was definitely already on my radar. Also, he does a lot of work with one of my other very favorite nonprofits in the town, which involves reading and dogs, which is just a great combination. He's here to probably read some poetry, Mr. Dan Smart.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
So, yes, love poems, right? Like, that's horrible. Like, what could be harder? If I have any advice for my young fellow poets who may be listening later or are in the audience now, I would say that it's a good idea to, you know, try to write around the topic of love, because as you'll see in a second, I kind of try to do this sometimes where I'm just like, I'm just gonna say what this means to me. And the more you try to say what it means to you, the more you end up with your like head in a tree hole or something. So if some of these drift towards more what you associate with love, so much the better, because it's not really the kind of thing that I don't think it's super easy to grab a hold of, and we're probably not supposed to anyway. And I do think that, if anything, I will start with my young friend, grade 4, Quinn, who, as everyone's been saying already, I think just did a much better job than I'm about to with his description of love. So this is called Who Wants Love by Quinn, grade 4. Love is a great thing because it's made out of hearts and beauty and handsomeness and awesomeness. And pow! Love goes slow. Love is ridiculous. Love is fast like a pony with a wizard costume on and a green mustache. Love is sad. Love is crazy. Love is around the world. Love's a deck of cards. Family love is happy and cool. Boyfriend and girlfriend love is yucky and nasty. When it comes to love, a man has to have a job, a good diploma, and has to have an 8-pack. And he has to cook and has to look handsome. He probably has to be in his 30s. So I got one of those. Okay. So that it's all downhill from there, obviously. So here's my own attempts at matching Quinn's eloquence and just Satori-like insight into the subject of love. This first poem is called On and On and On. Passion comes on loud and sloppy and sudden. It's something that just happens, like gridlock, a 6-year-old kid's birthday party, or the mumps. But love, at its quietest, comes across more like fidelity. No glitter, not at all grandstanding. Simple and slender as a promise when it's whispered. Something you don't touch but only catch sidelong glimpses of. Too steadfast and unremarkable to be called a miracle. Like July fireflies in the much more considerable moments between their flashes. Or a dusty, dented attic box a little too full of Christmas ornaments to bother opening. It sounds like beautiful antique wind chimes hung up in the distant window of a closed shop. It smells like exotic garden flowers blooming at 2 o'clock in the morning when everyone's at home in their beds, bent around a pillow, dead asleep since 10. This next poem I'm going to read for you guys is I assure you, PC, but it's called My Libido, and it kind of inspired by days like yesterday, which was a very nice day. And you know how when it's a nice day, you get certain energies and appetites, and it's very strange the places we redirect these appetites. So this is my libido. Whenever it's sunny, I just get this insatiable drive to go shopping. To browse and to notice and caress and hold and purchase all kinds of impossible things and array them in neat rows on shelves or display them with pride and slow aplomb across this beautiful body of mine. When it's not so nice out, I still get the same itch to see and to touch and to buy a bunch of stuff. But those days I go straight home and fling it all as hard and as fast as I possibly can into an already very full closet. Thanks. I'm going to read a poem for you called, this is interesting, called Omnia Vincent Amor. Any Latin scholars?
Love conquers all.
Yes, love conquers all. Or does it? I just think that's kind of a strange thing to say when you think about it, nice as it sounds. Here's why. The way I figure it, the conquerors had it backwards. True love has never made anything happen. It utterly refuses to conquer. Love does not do work. It only takes credit. It's the jealous, frozen, lusty moon, not the incandescent sun that lights it. Love doesn't permit things or divulge its long-term plans. In practice, the real thing is more like a temporary, willful, and difficult withholding of apathy, of prejudice, of revenge. Only love is lazier than that. It's never cleared a forest of formidable oak trees. It's more like the little breeze that goes out gossiping in the grass of idle meadows. It's never held a job, never plugged in a vacuum, never transformed anyone's car into a Subaru. That's because love isn't industrious. Love is the blissfully indiscriminate consumer. It's never satisfied. It can't be filled up. And even though we feel it sometimes sloshing around inside us, it's all Diet Coke and zebra cakes and chocolate milk and Jolly Ranchers. It takes up some space, but it's worth less than it costs, and it only makes us hungrier. This next poem is called Not Yet Fathomed, and it is a bit more serious. It's quick, though, and it uses our beautiful city as some backdrop and inspiration. Not yet fathomed. This is it. It's almost nightfall, and I'm lost on the frayed shore of this huge secret city. It's freezing. The corroded dark seawall is wind trembling and scum wrecked. But still, I can't walk. I can't think. I'm just rusted. Transfixed here by numberless wave crests, urgent tugging on the surface of the lake, like razored teeth biting and consuming all the sky, like hordes of startled insects darting panic from their hive, like this humiliating chorus of knife-silver laughter clanging out each of the endless and formidable ways I don't love you, which one at a time flicker, die, and are subsumed by the vast, mute expanse that produced them, by the deep and immovable way that I do. Thanks. One or two more quick ones for you here. This one's called Ultimate Fantasy, and ultimate in several different senses of the word ultimate. But you'll see. Hair swept up and back in a dizzying cloud, breasts newly freed, now swinging limply apart overhead in the mouth-watering lowlight that's draping the Egyptian cotton-sheeted bed. And what happens next? You'll take your time honing, spend your nights cleaning, protecting, and sharpening for use as a weapon against the frittered away to flatlining remainder of your life. Implausibly, no time really feels like the first time you dream this. And the last time you do, from some bed you don't own, it'll only make sense to you that once you still could, and now can't, and soon won't. But you'll still do your best to enjoy lying back and reenacting the sensation of picturing yourself knowing just how to imagine having felt in that old dream purchase bed from time to time when the mood strikes and then never does again. Thank you, guys. Like Eric said, I'm a writer and editor and involved. I've been involved in editing a little bit some of the books here at 826 Shy, which has been great. I also have a blog called Rhythm is the Instrument, rhythmistheinstrument.com, that I publish poems on all the time, so you can check me out. Thanks to Nerdalogs, and thanks to 826 Shy, and thanks to everyone who has read and will read. This is great. So one last poem for you. This is called Future Perfect Progressive. Although someday we'll say, love is what all this will have been for. It doesn't take the load off. It still can't be the goal. After all, it's not like God is some renewable resource. You and I, we're old enough by now to know black won't begin to describe it, nor empty. Heaven knows the immaculate stars don't just explode. They leave behind precisely unfillable holes.
Thank you. Damn, smart. Oh my God, so good. Yeah, cool. Oh man, that was so great. I think you're totally right that, like, and it's kind of one of the curses of the human condition that the more we try to do a very specific something, the more we're likely to fail at doing that something. I think that's true in a lot of ways. Although, counterpoint to your argument about addressing love in poetry, have you heard the song The Warrior by Patti Smith and Scandal? Shooting down the walls of heartache, bang, bang, I am the warrior. The best line ever written is in that song. It's, your eyes touch me physically. How else would they touch something that... Oh, anyway. I'm not going to do my stand-up act now. Come down the street, see me at Kohl's afterwards for my Type 5, guys.